you'd like to stand with us, feel free to stand as we worship together.
We serve a great God, so let's make a joyful noise to the Lord this morning, because he is so worthy of all our praise.
The splendor of the King, golden majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and it trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And oh, we'll see how great is our God. And time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb.
Above all names.
The name above all names, worthy of all praise, and my heart will see how great is our God.
Sing it to him. One more time.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And I will see how great is our God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He is great.
You know, I always think about the universe. Do you ever just marvel when you look up at the stars and the sun? You can't look into the sun very long, but I marvel at what our Creator has done. And you know, even his creation gives him glory by doing what they're supposed to do, and they just... It's just amazing to me that our God, he is a great God. And even though we may have our own burdens, our own problems, and things that go on down here, even through all that, we still know that there is something greater on the other side, when we will someday see our Creator face to face. What a great day that's going to be.
Fitting, He is holy.
Holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, right? I try to think of something new every time I come up here, but it doesn't have to be something new, does it? God is good. We know that, don't we? But it's good to hear it all the time, isn't it? How good God is. He takes care of us. He looks after us. Even in our troubles and our trials and our struggles, our pains and aches and everything else we have going on, right? He's still good. We know that this body's breaking down. Some of you know that further along the way than some of the other ones do, right? The kids don't know yet. They think they're invincible. Then when they get to be about 50 years old, they're like, yeah, when I jumped off that thing and hurt my neck, it's affected me now. When I played football and jammed my spine, now it's affected me, and they're limping around. And you don't think of that. When you're younger, you think, oh, it's no big deal. It hurts for a while, then it's okay. But you don't know the damage that you've done. But I think a lot of times about damage that's been done emotionally and spiritually in families, that moms and dads can cause their kids, that they don't think about what's happened. But that's not unforgivable, is it? Because God can forgive those things. He can heal those things. He can change those things. I don't think anybody's had a perfect upbringing. You know, everybody's had problems and issues and things like that. Some have had horrible ones. Some have had some that are not so horrible, but God can heal all those situations and restore us. And you don't have to repeat that pattern, do you? I think I've told you before, my dad was an alcoholic. And the phrase used to be, well, you know, if your parents were, you're going to be. And I'm like, no, you don't have to be. You can choose your path. You can choose what you want. You can choose what your life's going to be and make it different. So maybe you've had a bad past or a bad experience. It doesn't have to continue, right? You can start today and say it's going to be new. Or if you have kids, my kids are not going to be like that. It's going to be a different situation for them. And with God's help, that's possible, isn't it? Like Russ talked about this morning, you know, swing low, sweet chariot. Sometimes we get pretty low. And the phrase, you know, you talk about, you have to get so low that there's no place else you can look except up. And sometimes people are like that. You have to get so low, you look up. Other people go along easy. Some people, it's hard. I've told you before, when I was in the classroom, I'd say there's an easy way and the hard way. Some kids pick the hard way. And some kids pick the easy way. But through those trials and struggles, we learn, don't we, hopefully? We grow from those. And those situations let us share with other people. I went through that, and you can do it too. You can make it through the other side. It's not hopeless. And so I think sometimes the struggles we go through are so we can share with others that there is hope in that struggle. There is hope in that situation. No matter how you grew up, you don't have to be that way. You can be different. We have Donna's stepson, Keith. His son, Matthew, passed away yesterday, 30 years old. I don't know the whole story. I just know you came in and found him, and he was gone. So pray for that family. Donna's at home. Pray for her as well. And any other requests for prayer we have this morning? Pray for Ernie. He's not been feeling well. Prayed for him yesterday. He still needs prayer to recover from whatever's going on. He's not really sure what it is, but just kind of feeling tired and worn out and down, right? Pray for Dee as well. I'm still dealing with the emotional aspects of losing her sister. She's lost a lot of family members in the last year or two, and it's a hard thing. You don't just get over it in a day. So pray for some recovery for that, emotionally and spiritually as well for that. So, anything else this morning? Dan?
We have friends that have a granddaughter that's got some health issues. So we just ask for prayers for
her. So Dan's friend's granddaughter. So pray for her as well. Probably more requests, I'm guessing, but we just can't always think of them at the time, can we? But we know that God knows what they are. So let's just pray for those this morning. Father, thank you for bringing us here this morning. You've heard these requests that we've mentioned. There's probably many others that we haven't mentioned, Lord, about situations that we may be in, struggles that we're having, pains that we experience, Lord, things from our past that may still haunt us. But God, we just pray for healing for these situations that are happening. We pray for this granddaughter and for Ernie and for Keith and Donna and Dee and all the different ones, Lord, that we could mention. You know who they are, and we pray for them. So, God, we pray for healing to take place. Some of that healing is going to be physical. Some is going to be emotional. Some is going to be spiritual. We ask for some to be protected, Lord, from the influence of the world and others and Satan and things that are around that are trying to direct them in the wrong way. Pray for those who are facing persecution, facing abuse, and wondering where you are. But we know you're there, and we just pray that you'll come close to them today and this morning. Pray for your guidance and your direction, Lord, as we look to your word. We just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to share a song. It might be on the radio. Probably is. Don't really listen to the radio. But this song has been kind of my anthem lately. And the words, that's why we sing songs. I know we all probably have different styles and tastes in this room, from Gaithers to new stuff to classical. It's all amazing if we can honor it for what it is. And these lyrics are just carrying me lately. So I hope that you can grab onto the lyrics. And it says, Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And that's what Pastor's talking about today. He is enough. And that's what that means. And I'm sure he'll talk about the sacrifice of Abraham. And he provided. And he provides all of our needs. Even when it doesn't look like it, he shows up and he's a provider and he's enough. So if we can sing that and say that and believe it, I mean, it can come out, even if it doesn't look like it, we say it, and it's true, and we can walk in it. But this is just my favorite thing right now, so. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. I wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now. I'm going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out. You would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown. You've never been closer than you are right now. You are Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Forever enough, always enough, you're more than enough. I don't want to forget how I feel right now. On the mountaintop, I can see so clear what it's all about. So stay by my side when the sun goes down. I don't want to forget how I feel right now. 'Cause you are Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Forever enough, always enough, you are more than enough. Forever enough, always enough, you are more than enough. This is my favorite. I'm already loved. I'm already chosen. I know who I am, and I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved more than I can imagine, and that is enough. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough.
Oh, he is enough, isn't he? I was thinking this morning there's no choir up here, so actually I'm preaching to the choir this morning. You know, these things just come to me. I don't know where they come from. They just come to me. We're talking about God's provision this morning. Not just something to get things, but he blesses us and keeps on blessing, doesn't he? Even when we don't realize it, some things that we think are not good, turn off for his good that he's done for us, that changes us, that helps us. Sometimes we wonder if God knows what's going on. You know, God, do you know what's going on here? Do you know what I'm going through? Do you know what's happening? And from a human perspective, it's easy to say, isn't it? He probably doesn't know. But if we know God, we know he knows everything. And I think kids think that about their parents sometimes. You know, do you guys know what's going on? Parents know what's going on sometimes, don't they? Sometimes kids have arguments with each other, and one's like, why isn't mom and dad stepping in? You learn how to solve issues and solve problems sometimes that way, where you got to talk things out and work it out yourselves a little bit. Not that it gets to the point of being violent, but then you step in. But there's times when kids have to learn how to discuss and talk about things, especially today, right? It's not just like, you have to actually use words and verbalize, and it makes a big difference. So I think sometimes we lost that art of speaking, and so we tend to forget that God speaks to us. Sometimes we can hear things. Sometimes it's an impression. Sometimes he shows us things through the word. But let's just say this morning, God, he's there. He knows. Even we can't see it. So if you turn to Genesis chapter 17, we're going to start there, and you've heard the story before. But I think it's good to go through some of these things because God's word doesn't change. I think we change sometimes. We forget things, and sometimes we get a different impression when we hear things with the Lord, what he tells us. It says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I'll make my covenant between me and you will greatly increase your numbers. There's hope in that verse for us. Abraham was 99 years old when God spoke to him, and he said, there's still some things you need to do. You need to be blameless. We're all on a journey, aren't we? Trying to get to be where God wants us to be. Sometimes we get frustrated, thinking, well, I didn't do that right. I messed up here. I did that. But God says, you know what? Get up. Keep going. Keep working. Keep heading the way you should head. Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You'll be the father of many nations. I'm sure Abraham thought, do you know what you're talking about, God? Do you know what's going on? I'm 99 years old. I'm going to be the father of many nations at 99? That doesn't happen today, does it? Not that I've heard. There's no 99-year-old couples out there having kids, fathers of many nations going on, but it was going to happen to him. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. He's proclaiming this over him even before it happened, isn't he? This is what's going to happen to you. This is what's going to come about. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm telling you what's going to happen. I'll make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God, the God of your descendants after you. And the whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I'll give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I'll be their God. You know, you read this passage and you think, well, that's just a nice story. Some people think that when they read the Word, don't they? The Bible is just a story. It's just illustrations. It didn't really happen. They just kind of gave stories to show points. But we know that God's Word is true. And these aren't just stories. These are things that happened, right? You have an old guy and an old lady. I don't know why I'm getting a ring. You want to turn these things off? I got them on right now. Choir mics. You can turn this red one off. Can you imagine a 99-year-old guy and his wife going into Chick-fil-A with five or six kids behind them? Like, what? Are these your grandkids? No, they're ours. Like, right. Those aren't, yeah, they're ours, and we're going to have more. You think about some of those things in our perspective, and it's just, it's different to comprehend, isn't it? But he's going to be the father of many nations. There's going to be kings as his descendants. There's only two problems with that. Their life, as far as we're concerned, was over, wasn't it? They're done. There's not going to be more kids showing up. And the second thing, at this point, they didn't have any kids. But God said to them, this is what's going to happen. I think sometimes we have a hard time believing what God says to us because in our mind it doesn't make sense. Like, that can't happen. But then when it does, we rejoice and say, yeah, I guess it did. God's amazing. May have had doubts, but they knew God's word is true. And his promise to provide was there. Genesis 21 says, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did what he promised. So it wasn't just something God said, it's something that he promised. I know that when they were kids, used to promise a little pinky promise, you know, pinky swear stuff, whatever they did, that kind of stuff. Blood brothers and all this kind of promising you had. And if you went back on a promise, people didn't forget that. A promise meant you were going to do it no matter what. In our human perspective, sometimes we can't fulfill those promises. We tell our kids, yeah, I promise we're going to do this, and then something happens and we just can't. But God never has that, does he? When God says, I promise this, you know it's going to happen. It says, Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God promised him. And Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son was born to him. This just kind of cracks me up because I think of when we had our kids in the hospital and all the dads are around there, you know. And you're like, dude, what's grandpa doing here? Well, that's my son in there. You know, can you imagine what that's like? That's my son. I'm like, what? It can't be your son. You're 90, you're 100 years old. But can you imagine? It's kind of a humorous thing to me, and it's kind of cool at the same time to think about God doing that kind of thing, isn't it? When all these young guys are having kids and all of a sudden this 100-year-old guy comes in and says, this is my son. I just think it's kind of a neat thing that you wouldn't forget it when you saw it, would you? You wouldn't forget. You'd tell everybody, hey, this guy over here, he's 100 years old. He just had a son. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter. And everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, and yet I have borne him a son in his old age? The thing is, this was just the beginning, wasn't it, of his lineage? Because his line was going to go on. There was going to be as many of the sands of the ocean or sands of the sea. But God wasn't done. Question is, did Abraham really trust him based on faith, on what he could see? Did he trust him through the good and bad? Even when it seemed like he was walking a dark path, God is right there beside him, and he's right there beside us. There's times when we kind of give up hope. And think, I don't know what's going on. I can't take this anymore. I don't know where this is heading. I don't know if I can make it through till tomorrow. But we have to know God's with us. We're not by ourselves. He's always working for our good, even when we don't recognize it. But Abraham was going to have his faith tested. You ever have your faith tested to see if you really believe what you believe? Genesis 22, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to Abraham, here I am. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. So early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey, took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac, When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, so this was a three-day journey, Abraham knew what was going to happen all the way there as he's spending time with his son. And I would have been crying. And I'd have been weeping. And I'm not sure if he was, but I think he just kind of said, God's going to be, it's going to be okay. The third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And he said to his servant, stay here with a donkey while I and the boy go over there. And listen to this part. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Interesting, isn't it? God told him he's going to sacrifice his son, but he says to his servants, we will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the knife, the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on the, up together, Isaac spoke up and said, Father, I said, yes, my son, the wood and the fire are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? That's got to be a pretty heavy question for Abraham at that point, because he knows what the offering is. But he says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. The two of them went up together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. This is a heavy moment, I'm sure, for him. Because this son is his lineage. He's going to carry on his name as God promised. And yet he's there. He ties up his son, puts him on the altar. It doesn't say Isaac moved around. It doesn't say he squirmed and screamed. We don't know what he did. I can imagine what my kids would have done if I tied him up and put him on an altar. Right? But he trusted God enough to know it was going to be okay. Even as he had a knife in his hand. How would you feel in that situation? Would you be confused or resentful? Especially when your son is asking where the offering is and then he's it? Because he was the miraculous gift in his old age. And now he's being asked to sacrifice him. Talk about faith. Hebrews 11 talks about this. It's 11:17. It says, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. So in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. So he knew that if he sacrificed his son, God could raise him up again. How do you know that? Because God had provided for him in the past. He gave him the son. It was a miracle. He promised there was going to be a future. So he knew this wouldn't be the end. Sometimes you go through situations that seem hard. You know it's not the end, but it's still hard to go through. Abraham was going to sacrifice his only son. I can't imagine what that'd be like. Believing God's going to raise him, yes. Getting ready to go ahead and do it. Genesis 24:11. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him, for I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went overtook the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. He named it. And to this day it's said, on that mountain, of the Lord it will be provided. Abraham demonstrated his faith through what he was doing, didn't he? He was going through with what God wanted him to do, regardless of how he felt, because he knew God could make it right no matter what. Even if Abraham sacrificed Isaac, he knew Isaac could be raised from the dead. And he said, I know that you fear me, because you haven't withheld anything from me. Are there things we need to sacrifice in our lives that we're holding on to that God wants to have and we won't give it to him? And he said, just put that on the altar and give it to me, because I have something better for you. The other thing I look at when I look at this passage is a ram was caught in the thicket, but Abraham didn't hear it until the angel came and spoke to him. To me, that's amazing. Did God just make it appear right there? Boom, there's a ram there. Did he wander over? Had he been there and he didn't notice him? Those are questions we don't know, do we? And in either case, it was provided. I don't know how many times rams really get caught in thickets. Right? It's probably not a usual thing. So that was like a miracle in itself. In the Bible, there's a lot of times over and over God provides in many ways. Now, these are some things I thought about. It's not necessarily going to be in chronological order, but it came to order in my mind for these things. Remember Noah? God provided an ark, didn't he, to save him and his family and the animals. And his promise was never to flood the earth again. He provided that. He's building an ark in the middle of nowhere, like a crazy man. People are like, you're nuts, old boy. You've lost. You've been out in the sun too long. But he said, no, God told me to do this. So he and his sons are building this ark. And even at the end, people didn't believe it was going to happen. But God provided for him and his family. The Israelites, even though they disobeyed God over and over again, he provided a way of escape for them that led to the promised land through Moses, didn't he? Who had killed an Egyptian and ran away from God and all the things that have happened. God provided for his people. Joseph had a dream that one day he'd have his brothers bow down before him and everybody else. And God led him through a series of unfortunate events, didn't he? Different things that he went through to the place he was supposed to be to save his people from starvation. So God provided through Joseph to save his people. And Joseph didn't have a grand, happy life. He had a lot of experiences that weren't good, but it led him to the place where he needed to be so he could save his family. What about 1 Kings 18? Elijah faces off against 450 prophets of Baal. And this is a showdown to see who God is. Is Baal God or is the Lord God? So God provided proof that he is indeed the one true God. Not only did he consume the sacrifice, he consumed the wood, the water, the stones, and the soil, providing that he was Lord and he was God. What about the woman with the issue of blood? She'd been sick for, I think, 12 years. I think that's the number. Went to all these physicians and spent all her money. She touched his garment. God provided healing for an issue that she'd had for years and years and years again because her faith led her to touch him. And then there were 500 hungry people, plus more. And a little boy provided his lunch. And God provided a miracle so they could all have food. So God provides in a number of ways, doesn't he? My final one I thought about was, what about the thief on the cross? Here's a man hanging on a cross next to Jesus, guilty of his sins, punished for his crimes, and he recognizes Jesus as Lord. Recognizes he's been unjustly treated. He says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What did Jesus say? No, you stupid fool, I'm not going to remember you. You deserve what you're getting. Did he say that? Did he say you're wicked? No. Getting what you deserve. He said, no, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Jesus provided forgiveness and salvation to a man that was on the cross hanging next to him that deserved death. But he said, no, you deserve life. And I'm going to provide that through me. All these different ways he provides that we can think about. The Lord will provide. He's our provider. Many people think they can do things without God. They don't need Jesus. The idea seems ridiculous. Seems like, well, things are going well. I don't need him. I don't pray. I don't go to church. I don't believe in God. But I have a good job. I have money. I have good health. Until one day they don't. And then what happens? You lose your job, lose your finance, lose your health. And they say, God, why'd you do this to me? And I think if you don't believe in God, then how can God do it to you? If you don't believe in him, how can you blame him? You don't think he's your provider. We think of provision of things like money and food. We need those things. But Abraham was talking about the provision of life, wasn't he? He basically gave Isaac life that was going to be taken away, but he provided someone else to be the sacrifice, which was the ram. Provided the thief on the cross life, who was destined to hell through death. We just celebrated Easter, where Christ rose from the dead in order to defeat death and provide a way of eternal life. For those who don't believe, those who reject him, those who want nothing to do with him, there's a grim eternity, isn't there? It's not going to be a good life without Christ. John 12:48. The one who rejects me does not receive my words as a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. Matthew 10:33. Whoever denies me before men, I'll also deny him before my Father in heaven. Hebrews 10:26. If we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Luke 10:16. The one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Here's the big one. Revelation 20:11-15. And some of you guys studied this in your Sunday school class, I think. I'm not sure if you're that far yet. It says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. For his presence on earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Is that a gray area or is that pretty clear? Pretty clear. You don't have Christ, you're not going to heaven. That's a pretty clear thing. They can be the best person in the world, do all the good deeds, go to church every Sunday, say all their prayers. If they never accepted Christ, they're not going to heaven. Salvation is through him alone. But here's the question. If there is a way to escape hell provided by Christ through the sacrifice of Christ, sacrifice of Jesus, why wouldn't somebody take it? If there's a way out, why wouldn't you take it? Refusing to believe God doesn't negate his existence. Just like refusing to believe gravity doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So you go home today, get on top of your house, say, I don't believe gravity exists, and jump off and see what happens. Don't really do it, because then you're going to try to sue me for telling you to do something, but you're going to see gravity exists whether you believe it or not. When you look around and you pray and you talk to the Lord, you can see his provision is there by what we see in our lives, what he does, how he answers our prayers. And some people still choose not to believe it. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Earlier we looked at several times when God provided. He provided food, healing, proof of his power, salvation, eternal life. I believe he still provides for us today. But we need to accept him, don't we? Some people are still waiting. Still waiting to accept him. I don't know why. They're still waiting. We need to accept him, make sure he's in our lives. I think he cares for our needs. David says in the Psalms, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, or I lack nothing. Possessions aren't everything. Right? You can have all the things in the world, but if your health is gone, you're not going to be happy, right? Some things we think we need, we don't need. We need the Lord in every situation. This was another one. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. You're going to lack no good thing. I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. A couple more. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we replace that with every want. My God shall supply every want of mine. But it says every need. Needs and wants are two different things, aren't they, a lot of times. Psalm 103 of David, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." That should be an encouragement to us today, shouldn't it? He forgives our sins, heals our diseases, if not here in the next life. He redeems us, which means makes us new, crowns us with love and mercy, satisfies us with good, and renews our youth. Those are things we can rejoice about. He's our provider. I'm just going to close with a short story. David Smallbone felt God leading him to promote Christian concerts in his homeland of Australia. Wow, isn't that amazing? Only 5% of the people believed in Christ. When too few fans filled his seats during one major tour, however, David took a $250,000 bath in red ink. That means he was in trouble, he was in debt. Creditors repossessed his home, and the father of six looked elsewhere for work. A top artist offered him a job in Nashville, so the Smallbones family sold their furniture and other possessions, purchased tickets to the United States. A few weeks after they arrived, however, David was informed that his position was no longer available. He literally couldn't get out of bed for several days. When he and his wife explained to the children what had happened, they all got on their knees and asked God to help them. Interesting things began to happen. God provided bags of groceries, a minivan, and odd jobs. And the biggest surprise of all, recording contract for David's oldest daughter, Rebecca, at age 15. She recorded her first album using the family name, St. James. Isn't that an amazing story? God provided for them. They trusted the Lord. The kids got down. They all prayed. And they said, "Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We trust you, we're asking you, and we're going to depend on you." What's he providing for you today? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day, this morning. Thank you that you're our provider. You give us many examples in your word of where you provided. You give us illustrations today where you still provide. So God, we ask you for those that have needs, for health, for finances, for relationships, and especially for salvation. We know you're Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides, and we ask you to do it today. In your name, amen.
I was asked to remind you, don't run away if you would like to vote in the meeting or attend the meeting regarding the mower. Thank you. I didn't sing the bridge to this song. I didn't want to. It's a very long song, but I want to sing the bridge now because it just goes right along with what Pastor just spoke on, and then maybe we could try to sing the chorus together. I'll start with the chorus. Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. And if he dresses the lilies with beauty and splendor, how much more will he clothe you? How much more will he clothe you? If he watches over every sparrow, how much more does he love you? How much more does he love you? Jireh, you are enough. Jireh, you are enough. And I will be content in every circumstance. Jireh, you are enough. Father God, I pray that you really are enough for us, that we we would loosen our grasp on things of this world that we're so sure we need. You already know what we need. All the situations in our lives that don't make sense right now, I just pray that you would give us peace and that we wouldn't question. Like Abraham, that we take our sacrifice of our life and we lay it down at your feet and we trust that you will provide. And it's not always going to look like what we want it to look like, but that's for the best. Can we trust that you are good, that you love us? We trust that you are good. We trust that you love us. That's hard. But may we rest in that love. Read your words and soak in that love, because that love is what's going to give us the faith to sacrifice for you. So Jireh, you are enough for every need that I have in sickness, every need that I have in finances, every need that I have in emotional stability. And we trust you, Lord God, as provider today. Be with us and let us dwell with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, God. Dan the man. Do you want this?
Okay, we're going to have our congregational meeting to approve the mowers. So everybody is welcome to stay. Members can vote. If I can just have the members take these two center rows of seats here. Sections, I guess.
We'll just open up with prayer right now. Father, we just pray that you'll just guide us as we seek in everything to use the things that you've given to us wisely. And as we consider this mower, we pray, Father, that we would just hear from you and be led by the Holy Spirit. Give us unity, and we just pray again that your will would be done. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Okay, we're meeting today to approve expenditure for the lawnmower, and for whatever reason, I don't remember the amount. What was the amount for the? $12,300? Yeah, $12,300 in some sense there. So I'll entertain a motion to approve those expenditures. That'll be coming from our rainy day fund. There, I have a first, Larry. And a second, Randy, thank you. any discussion? Well, that's good. All those in favor of approving the expenditures for the new riding mower, sign by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. So moved. All right, we are dismissed. Thank you very much.